There's a very important Gemara in the Daf Yomi this week, which may or may not be Lamaisa, but even if it's not Lamaisa, it's very Lamaisa. It has a tremendous impact, or it should have a tremendous impact on how we should behave, even if it may or may not be stated in an exaggerated way, and that's what we need to figure out. The Gemara tells us about the prohibition of Habanas Pnei Chaveru V'Ravim. And this Gemara appears in a number of places elsewhere as well. In addition to Sota and Daf Yud Amud Beis, it also appears in Bav Mitzia and Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph in the end of Perek Hazav. And it's perhaps best known from there. It also appears a little bit in Maseches Brachos, a little bit in Maseches Ksubis. But it's perhaps best known from the end of Perek Hazav, where the Gemara tells us that there's a tremendous chumrah to the iser of Halbanas Pnei Chaveru B'Rabim, that to embarrass somebody else, apparently in public, has a tremendous severity to it, so much so that it sounds like it is comparable to Shfichas Damim, that it's like murder. So that's something we need to figure out, just how literal is that comparison, and the application that seems to be expressed here in the Gemara in Sota, and in some of these other Gemaras, that Noach lo Adam shiapil atzmo lekivshan shel esh v'yal yalbin pnei chaveru b'rabim, that it's preferable for a person to throw himself into a fiery furnace rather than embarrass someone in public. And the Gemara here and Sota is deriving that from Tamar, because it sounds like that the story was that Tamar, she knew that she could win her case, she could exonerate herself, the claim that she had become pregnant by another man outside of the family, and the truth was it was really Yehuda who was the father, and she wasn't willing to identify him directly. So apparently she was ready to risk her life, to allow herself to be thrown into a fiery furnace, rather than embarrass him actively. She gave him the option of coming forward, which indeed he did, and which is why Yehuda gets such credit for being Moda, as his name indicates, because he willingly confessed to his involvement. But apparently, had he not done so then she would have just let things proceed, and she would have allowed herself to be executed. We should note there is a minority view, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who maintained that it wasn't actually that she was going to be executed, that the idea of her being burnt, that the Pasuk seemed to tell us about, actually meant she would have been branded, not that she would have actually died, but it really sounds from every other source that it means she literally would have been executed. And it sounds like the Gemara is telling us that it would have been preferable rather than to embarrass someone in public. It's not the only source in Chazal, besides the fact that this Gemara appears in a number of places, but there's also a Medrash in Vayigash, which tells us that when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, so he made sure that none of his bodyguards were around. He made sure that nobody else was present at that moment. And he did that because he didn't want to embarrass them in front of anyone else. And there's a machlokas in the Medrash, different days in the Medrash, as to whether what he did was right or wrong. Was it right that he allowed himself to be vulnerable? Because perhaps once he revealed himself, the brothers would have said, well, you know, this is awkward, but at least no one else is here, so we can just kill him and leave. So he allowed himself to be exposed to danger, to become vulnerable. So was it a good idea or not a good idea? So that's a machlokas in the Medrash, but it's another source in Chazal, which seems to indicate that it's worth risking one's life. So is this really the case? So in order to try to understand this whole topic, we have to try to figure out a little bit what is the nature of this comparison. When the Gemara says that there is a din, apparently, of Yehari Vayavur, that comes from the fact that the Gemara in Bav Mitzia, in more detail, the Gemara tells us that there's a comparison between Shfichas Damim and embarrassing somebody in public. And the Gemara first gives a physiological clue that the idea is that just like when a person is embarrassed, so his face drains of blood, So too, that's a kind of a shvichas damim. So apparently, it's like killing him. Should note that the expression the Gemara has here and elsewhere about maldin pnei chavera b'rabim, so it literally translates to whitening somebody's face in public. So that might be a little surprising, because we're normally familiar that if you embarrass somebody so they turn red, they don't turn white. So the truth is, there are a few gersos that actually do say ma'adim pnei chavera b'rabim. but it's certainly much more common to see this girsa of Malbin Pnei Chaver Berabim. So some explain that this is actually a deeper form of embarrassment, which is probably also important to clarify, that the idea is that when a person is embarrassed, so yes, they blush, they turn red, but then when they're really, really embarrassed, then the blood drains, and that's what's called blanching. They turn white in that sense, and that's also the source of the word mortified. It's mamish like they're dead, in a sense. So on some level, there is that comparison. But presumably, it's about more than that. Presumably, it's about the idea that there may be a result of a person being embarrassed that they would literally prefer to be dead, and maybe Rahman al-Islam, they might even pursue that path, as we know that that unfortunately has happened times in history. So is that perhaps what the Gemara means? That it is actually comparing humiliation to death for that reason. It's actually a literal comparison, either saying that it's actually worse or that chas v'shalom, it could actually lead to actual death, or is it more of a guzma? Is this more of a language of exaggeration, saying that it's very bad, but it doesn't really mean to say that it's actually equal to death? So the first nafkamina, perhaps, would be this question of, is it harg v'yavor? Because we know that ritzicha is harg v'yavor. If somebody were to say, kill that person or I'll kill you, so you're not allowed to do it. If that person's an innocent person, the person, let's assume, is not a rodef, he's an innocent, unrelated person, so you can't kill somebody else even to save your own life. That's Yehar Gvayavar. So would we say, as this Gemara is perhaps implying, that that's also the halacha for Halbanus Pnei Chaver Barabim, that it's literally a equal relationship? So first we should emphasize, do not try this at home. That halacha l'maisa would not recommend taking this attitude, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but I think that should be said up front. But we should also note that it seems to be somewhat of a machlokas rishonim, that on the one hand, so are there some rishonim who take this literally? So yes, perhaps Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, it sounds like he takes this literally. And also perhaps Tosfos here in Sota. So Tosfos is actually a topic of a little bit of discussion, a little bit of analysis, because Tosfos raises the question that if the din is really Yehag Vayavor, so how come it's not included in the big three? We know the Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, and the Fine and Dalit tells us the big three of Eris that are Yehag Vayavor. So why wouldn't we say that this should be included in the list? So Tosfos raises that question. So the answer that Tosfos gives is not that because it's not literal. That would have been the most easy answer. That would have been the most obvious answer if indeed that was the case. So the Brisker Rav and a few others, Medayik from that Tosfos, that it's not Yehareg Vayavor. It's a little bit difficult, this Tosfos, because on the one hand, yes, it doesn't give perhaps what would have been the most obvious answer to say that it's not literal, but it doesn't give the second most obvious answer either. Tosfos says it doesn't count things that aren't Beferish and Chumash. This is learned out from not Beferish in Psukim, so that's why it's not listed. But that is not the other most obvious answer. You would think that the most obvious answer is to say because it's not literal, okay, so it doesn't say that. But the second most obvious answer would be to say that it is part of the list, that the whole Svara to include Habanus Pnei Chaver Barabim in the concept of Yehareg Vayavor is because of this comparison to Ritzicha. So we would call it Abizrayu, or part of the broader category of Ritzicha. So that's part of the answer. That could be the second most obvious answer to say the reason it's not on the list is because it was already included. So it's a little bit hard to derive conclusively what exactly the position of Tosfos is, but Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin in the Shuvas B'nei Banim, he has a long discussion about this where he comes to the conclusion that it's not literal, that's not what Tosfos means. But there were those who understood Tosfos like this, and it sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah's like this, and the Rif also brings it lahalacha. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who don't seem to take it literally. Most explicitly is the Meiri. The Meiri all over in all these different Gemaras, and Brachos, and in Sota, and here all over the place, the Meiri is commenting on the various Gemaras. So he writes that this is Derech Guzma, Derech Azhara, Derech Sachos, that this is not a literal statement, and that we shouldn't assume that it's actually Yehareg Vayavor. The Rambam is also understood to not take it literally, because the Rambam writes that we have a halacha of Yehareg Vayavor, and Hilchos HaSodei HaTorah, he writes that we have a halacha of Yehari Vayavor by a few things, and anything outside of that, so there's no heter. One is not allowed to be Moser Nefesh for that Aveira. That was Machlokas, Tosfos and Vodazara understood that one could volunteer to be Moser Nefesh for an Aveira, but the Rambam feels not that way, and the Rambam does not identify explicitly that Halbanas Panech Aveira Barabim is included. So it was taken to mean that the Rambam's view is that it's not Yehari Vayavar. That's how some of the commentaries understood the Rambam. However, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his Tshuvas, he has a Tshuva in the first Chelek of his Tshuvas in the Mincha Shlomo, I believe in Siman Zayin, if I'm not mistaken, where he works off the assumption that it was only the Meiri who said that it's not literal, that all the other Rishonim, he said, wrote that they did take it literally, except for the Meiri. And he discusses in that tshuva that you have a question here that's hard to answer, that why is it that we don't say that if somebody is about to be embarrassed on Shabbos, and you could save him from being embarrassed, but you'd have to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save him, so why don't we say that you should be allowed to do that? Because if you can be Mechal Shabbos, you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life. So if somebody's about to be humiliated, so then why don't we say that it's Pikuach Nefesh? The same way that you can be Michal Shabbos for his physical life, you can be Michal Shabbos for saving him from Halbanas Panech Aveira. So Shlomo Zalman wasn't ready to say that Lamaisa, but he said the question is a powerful question, why that's true. Now, he also noted that if we're dealing with a Chil Shabbos Rabbanan, so then it presumably would be true, because it's a whole other sugya that appears a number of places in Shas, another five times in Shas, is the sugya of Kavod Abrios. And the Gemara says that Kavod Abrios is Doche Dinim Rabbanan. So if it was a matter of Chil Shabbos Rabbanan, so then we would allow human dignity, we would allow the avoidance of embarrassment to be doche. But to say that we'd allow Chil Shabbos Daraisa, so he wasn't ready to say that, but he wasn't sure why. It's noteworthy that there is at least one posek, not as well known as Reb Shlomo Zalman, but in the Tshuvas Shemi Shimon, Reb Shimon Pollock, he did take it to that conclusion, and he said that there was such a conclusion one could derive, that we would be Mechal Shabbos in order to prevent somebody from humiliation. But Reb Shlomo Zalman wasn't ready to go that far. But the question is, why not? What's the difference? Why wouldn't you go that far? So this was, he kind of left it open, Reb Shlomo Zalman. But the one suggestion that was printed in one of the rabbinical journals in Hamor, so there was an article there where one wanted to suggest that maybe you could say as follows, that the Gemara says, Noach lo l'adam sh'yapil atzmo l'kiv shalish. The Gemara doesn't say here that it's actually an obligation to be Moser Nefesh in order to prevent embarrassment. It says, Noach lo l'adam. So what the Gemara seems to be getting at is that it's a comparative statement, that it would be preferable for a person to jump into a fiery furnace rather than embarrass somebody in public. But it's not stated as an absolute din, so why not? Because we have to also factor in that not all embarrassment is equal, and presumably that's a very relevant point here, that if somebody spills spaghetti on his pants in the cafeteria, so it's embarrassing, but we wouldn't say that that's like shfichas damim. So presumably not every humiliation is the same. So this article was written by Rabbi Pinchas Levinson in the journal Hamar. So he notes that what the Gemara probably means is that theoretically it could be true that embarrassment could be equal to death. But you can't ever know that in advance. You can't know that the situation is going to play out that way. It's always unpredictable how exactly the situation is going to develop, and people react in different ways, and the fallout is always different depending on all kinds of variables that you can't predict. So the Gemara is saying, theoretically, humiliation could reach a level that it would be like shvichas damim. But not every humiliation, not every embarrassment is like shvichas damim. So being that you can't know how it's actually going to play out, so we wouldn't take a major irreversible step like being Moser Nefesh in order to prevent it, because that would be too much. You know, to say that you would give up your life in order to avoid embarrassing somebody, and you wouldn't know that it would even likely a effect that would be such a serious result, so then we wouldn't say that would actually be what to do. But what the Gemara is telling us is that theoretically it could be that the impact would be so great that it would be comparable to killing them. So presumably that's also the answer as far as Chilul Shabbos, that yes, it could be true that if you would know that somebody would be humiliated to such an extent that it would really be comparable to death for them, or certainly if Chas V'Shalom we think that it may actually lead them down that path, Chalila, so then one presumably would be Michal Shabbos in order to prevent that from happening. But you're not going to find that as codified halacha, because the average situation, we wouldn't necessarily expect that even if it's a little bit embarrassing, that it's going to play out that way. So presumably this answer that Rabbi Pinchas Levinson writes in the context of Ihari Val Yavor, it's probably true in both cases that we wouldn't actually say that it's a Harav Yavor, and we wouldn't say on paper to be Mechal Shabbos in order to prevent it, because we wouldn't necessarily know in any given case that it would actually play out in such an extreme way. But in theory, it's possibly true, and we have to be on the lookout for just how serious it can be. And this has certainly enough kamina for us, because even if we wouldn't go so far as to say Harav Yavor, again, I would emphasize, don't try this at home, and we wouldn't go so far as to be Mechal Shabbos, but most of the situations where we might embarrass somebody, that's not the only alternative. It's not a situation where we would have to be Moser Nefesh or Mechal Shabbos to prevent it, and we're often ready to allow people to be embarrassed when the stakes are much lower. So the fact that there were some who thought that it would go so far, at least theoretically, that there was somewhat of a discussion that it could actually be a Harav Yavor. So that's a very powerful statement about just how chomer it could be. And that's also something that we should take very seriously in the situations where it's not a matter of life and death. We should realize just how chomer the Avera is. In general, I should mention parenthetically that the whole sugya about Tamar on our Gemara here, which focuses on that, is really very difficult, because the Din, it's very hard to know exactly why Tamar did what she did, because even if there is a prohibition to be Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim in general, that's so chomer, but it's very difficult to say that if somebody's on trial for his life, or on trial for anything, but certainly if someone's on trial for his life, that he's not allowed to clear his name by saying what happened, even if that involves embarrassing someone. So pshat in the psukim and in the Gemara is very difficult, and there's a lot that's written about this. Rav Asher Weiss has about this in a Sefer on Chumash. Sefer was just reprinted in the expanded version, and he asserts, as we would assume, that when you have a process of din, a regular process of trying to figure out the halacha and trying to figure out who's guilty and who's innocent, so it's not shaykh to say that there's an isra halbanus p'nei chaver barabim that's going to stop you from clarifying the truth. So how exactly we understand the psukim really and the Gemara is difficult, and that itself is going to be a question, but to extrapolate from here, so there's a lot to figure out in terms of just how literal a comparison it is or isn't. Rav Shlomo Kluger, in his commentary Chachma Shlomo to Shulchan Aruch, in the very end of Chosha Mishpat, so he has a extreme application of this, which was not accepted by the later poskim who talked about it, but Rav Shlomo Kluger writes there, he actually has a different way of getting to this conclusion, but it seems to parallel, that we know that normally one is obligated, l'samer al dam re'acha, one is obligated to try to save somebody's life if they're at risk. So if somebody is drowning and you know how to swim, so then you're obligated to jump in and save them. But what would happen if you're not such a strong swimmer, so you know that if you're going to jump in, so then you're going to drown. So then you're not mechuyev, perhaps not even allowed to save his life under those circumstances. There's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Rishalmi, whether you're not mechuyev, you're not allowed to, but we certainly wouldn't expect somebody to save somebody else's life if it means they're going to die, or if it means they're going to risk their lives. That's a whole discussion exactly how far we go with it, but in general, that's the basic assumption. So here too, what if you can save somebody else's life, but in order to do so, you'd have to be mevazi yourself. So Shlomo Kluger writes that you wouldn't have to be mevazi yourself to save somebody else's life, which seems to flow from this kind of logic that if it's literally equal to death, so the same way you don't have to sacrifice your life for somebody else, so far you don't have to go through bizyonos in order to save somebody else. So all the later poskim who talked about this did not agree. The Kli Chemda has a discussion about this in his Sefer Al HaTorah, and Diane Grossness in his Tshuva Slave Aryeh has a Tshuva about this. And Rabbi Zalman Nechemya Goldberg wrote about this, and his father-in-law, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, talks about this in that same tshuva that we referenced, and even though he was coming from the perspective, as we noted, that it basically was a literal comparison, but he wasn't ready to go so far. And he wrote there that, in addition to other reasons to disagree, but he pointed to a Gemara in Tainus that says that there's no comparison to the humiliation somebody undergoes if he willingly puts himself in a situation. So if he's going to try to save somebody's life and he's going to expose himself to embarrassment that he's prepared for, so that's never going to be comparable to the embarrassment that would happen if somebody else inflicted it upon him. So therefore, for that and other reasons, he didn't accept this conclusion. So this, in general, later Poskim did not accept this, but this would be apparently a pretty extreme step to take this comparison to say that it's equal to death to embarrass somebody, and therefore also to embarrass yourself. You wouldn't have to do that even if it meant not saving somebody else's life. Just parenthetically, he gets to it, the Shlomo Kluger gets to it from a different way. He gets to it from the fact that the Gemara also derives saving somebody's life from Hashavas Aveda, as a Kal Vachomer. If you have to return his property, so you have to save his life. And Hashavas Aveda is the Patur of Kavod Abrios. So maybe one should say that that would apply here also. But again, this was not something that the later Poskim accepted. And there are a few other discussions also that raise this question of just how far are we going to, how far would we go with this? Just how literal is this? So a number of Poskim, Rav Nassan Gishtetter and his Tshuva Slaharus Nassan, and Rav Vosner and his Tshuva Shevet Halevi, they talk about the question of, there's a din the Gemara has in Maseches Brachos, that a Kohen Shaharigas HaNefesh is not allowed to duchen. A Kohen who killed somebody is not allowed to duchen. The Gemara understands that from a pasuk in Yeshaya. So they raise the question, would you say that a Kohen who's mevaza somebody, who's mal pnei chaver barabim, so if that's like murder, so then maybe we should say that somebody, a Kohen who's mevaza others, would also not be able to duchen. So they were not ready to go that far, those two great poskim, the Shevet Halevi and the Laharus Nassan. Laharus Nassan specifically, when he talks about this, he writes that even if you were to say that it was actually equal to murder, but the Gemara derives it from a pasuk, as we know the pasuk has a language of Yedeichem Damim Malei, your hands were filled with blood. So presumably it only should apply to a murderer in the physical sense, somebody who actually killed with his hands. But one could say that he was making that point because Birchas Konim involves the hands, Nesias Kapayim, so maybe the hands that were used to kill somebody are disqualified, but Birchas Konim also involves speech, so we could perhaps say that speech that has that effect maybe would also be in the same category. But in any event, they didn't take it literally, and they didn't think that this was actually the conclusion. There is also, nonetheless, a discussion about this and a few other svarim about Hilchos Birchos Kohanim. You go to the library, you can find a shelf of svarim about Birchos Kohanim, and there were some who actually were machmir on the shaila and thought that maybe you should say that such a person should not be duchening. But again, in practice, it's a topic you have to look into if it really happens, because again, that would also probably end up being mevaz of the guy who is not allowed to duchen. So that's a question of itself, and the Shevet Halevi and Laharus Nassan didn't think that this was actually the din. The Shvos Yaakov Reischer has a discussion also in terms of whether we would say that this should be considered one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. So should we say that a non-Jew also has a prohibition of embarrassing somebody in public? To embarrass him, so that we know is an issue, because the pasuk of Kavod Abrios, and the Kavod Abrios, Pashtus, applies to everybody. Kavod Abrios derives from the fact of Adam Nivra B'Tzalem, so there should be an issur to embarrass anyone. But if the Ben Noach was the one doing the embarrassing, would we say that he should be prohibited to do that because it's considered a subset of Ritzicha? So that was a Chakir the Shvos Yaakov had. He came out to the conclusion that it's not actually equal, but again, it's a striking thought to consider just how much there may be a literal meaning to this comparison. So there was also a discussion in that the Gemara in Bav Metzia, where it has a longer discussion about the Isra of Habanus Pnei Chaver Barabim, so the Gemara there tells the story about David HaMelech, that David HaMelech had to endure the scandal with Bathsheba. So the Gemara says that even afterwards, so people were giving him a hard time and they would harass him, and he would give a press conference and the reporters would try to embarrass him, and he'd be giving a shiur And he could be giving a shiur about whatever, and then somebody would ask a question, oh, that's a fascinating shiur about Malacha Shinitzricha L'Gufa. Tell me, what's the din about somebody who gets involved with a possibly married woman? So he responded that, well, so then he's Chayv Skila, but he can have a chelik in Olam Haba. While Hamal Pnei Chaver Barabim ain't lo chelik l'Olam Haba. Intent. So apparently, the Gemara sees from there that Noach loli Adam Shiyovu al safek heishusiyah shi al yalb bnei chaver baravim, that it's better for him to get involved with a possibly married woman rather than embarrass somebody in public. So you don't find that brought into poskim so much, presumably because the situation doesn't really present itself too often. But that's where the Gemara then also says over there about Tomer and Noach loli Adam Shiyapel atzmul kivshin shalais, and that's what we saw that some poskim did bring it. But what about this question about David HaMelech saying there's no chelik in Olam Haba? So where did he get that from? So you might say it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Okay, but where did the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos get it from? So that's an interesting question that the Mefarshim discuss. How do you know this din that Hamal Pnei Chaver Rav Me'in Lo Chelik Olam Haba? Where did the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos get it from? Where did David HaMelech get it from? So there are a couple of different explanations, and it may come out L'shitaso. So for example, there is a machlokas, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, which may relate to Shitasam, because we mentioned on the Harva Yavar question, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, he was machmir on this, and he seemed to suggest that it is a Harva Yavar. And the Rambam, we noted, most understand the Rambam to not see it as a Harva Yavar. So that may be the Shitasam as far as explaining why there's no din, where there's no chelik in Olam Haba for somebody who embarrasses people in public. So Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, so he understands it that the reason there's no chelik in Olam Haba is because it's the same din as a murderer, so he has no chelik in Olam Haba because it's like he killed somebody. But we don't find that a murderer has no chelik in Olam Haba, so he says, yeah, it's actually worse than murder, because a person who commits murder, so it's a terrible avera, but then he'll presumably do tshuva. He'll realize that he did something horrific, and it'll be a big scandal, and he'll come to do tshuva, so he will have a chelik in Olam Haba. But somebody who embarrasses people in public, it has a comparable severity, but people don't take it seriously. They don't think it's such a big deal. They'll think, okay, I'm just joking, this is my style, whatever, I'm just saying what I want to say. It's not really such a problem, and they're not going to do tshuva, so they will be left with the Iker Onesh of Habonis Pnei Chaver Barab. And Reb Moshe Feinstein, in his Dibros Moshe to Bav Metzius, he points out that presumably when the Gemara says he has no chelik in Olam Haba, it's presuming no tshuva, that that's a part of it. That the Gemara is not saying that it's something that's impossible to do tshuva for. It's saying that the default position is somebody doesn't do tshuva, so he'll have no chelik in Olam Haba. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah was addressing here, that the default assumption is that they're not going to do tshuva because they're not going to see it as something that's so severe. So they'll be left with no chelik in Olam Haba. But the Rambam seems to understand it differently, because in his commentary to the Mishnayos and Chelik in the end of Sanhedrin, so there the Mishnayos talk about people who have no chelik in Olam Haba, and the Rambam talking about that, so the Rambam explains that it's not necessarily that this Avera, you commit this Avera and right away you have no chelik in Olam Haba. But rather, he's saying that, let's say, when it comes to Mal Pnei Chaver Barabim, so he says, somebody who is regularly Mal Pnei Chaver Barabim, not just that he does it once, but that he habitually embarrasses people in public, so that shows that he's in a very specific halachic category known as a jerk, and a person like that, he's probably not on the list. He's probably not somebody who's been Olam Haba for other reasons. If he has such a flawed character, so then it's fair to assume that he's in general not a ben olam haba, but it's not because this avera by itself is so severe that committing this avera once gets you knocked out of olam haba. So it seems that's l'shitasim, that Rabbeinu Yonah, who holds that it's actually equal to ritzicha, so sees that as relevant to having no chelak in olam haba, while the Rambam, who presumably doesn't see it as actually equal to Ritzicha and doesn't see it as having a din of Yehari Vayavor, so he also doesn't see it as automatically knocking you out of Olam Haba, but rather somebody who does this regularly, that's a part of his personality, so that's an indication that he's probably not somebody who's a Ben Olam Haba in general. There are a few other explanations as to why there would be a loss of Olam Haba for embarrassing people, and we could focus on one which may help us to understand some more about this din, that there are some who explain that I have to figure out exactly the phrase that the Gemara has, Malbin Pregaver Barabim. So we talked about what Malbin means and why doesn't it say Madim? That's one part that needs to be explained. But what about Rabim? So when we talk about Rabim, is that a necessary part of the Isser? Or is that just a Shigra Delishna that we just call it Malbin Pregaver Barabim, but we really mean Malbin Pregaver, to embarrass somebody, even in private? So there is a discussion in the Rishonim and elsewhere about whether there's an Isser to embarrass somebody in private as well, is it specifically Malm Panei Chaver Barabim? So there are various diukim in the Rishonim that they're made. The Prima Gadim talks about this, others talk about this. But one kind of pshara that you find in some Svarim is that what's going on is that the Isser of Habanas Pnei Chaver Berabim, that's when you have all of this chumra that we're talking about, the idea of Ein Lo Chelok Olam Haba, and maybe it's a Harav Vayavar, and maybe it should be Michal Shabbos, and all of that. So that is Mal Pnei Chaver Berabim. But to embarrass somebody in private, so that's an Isser. But it doesn't have all those consequences. So that could also be relevant to understanding this idea of Ein Lo Chelok L'Olam Haba, and what exactly that comes from. Because we have to understand, we've been talking this whole time about the Isser of embarrassing people, but what is the Isser? So where in the Torah do you have this prohibition? So as the Tashbetz points out in his commentary to Pirkei Avos over there, so there actually are two possible Isserim. Maybe there are two separate Isserim in the Torah that involve embarrassing somebody in public or embarrassing somebody in general. So on the one hand, there is the Din of Onah Stavarim. That's where the Gemara above Metzia is coming from. The Mishnah there talks about Onah. Whole Perek talks about Onah. And the end of the Perek, Gemara talks about, just like there's a prohibition of defrauding people in prices, we call Onas Mamon. So Kashem Sheish Onah B'Mamon, Kach Yesh Onah B'Dvarim. And in Parshas Bahar, there's also a pasuk that tells us there's an Isser of Onas Dvarim, that hurt somebody's feelings is also prohibited. So the Mishnah has a number of things, there's a whole list of different things that could be a violation of Onas Dvarim, and embarrassing somebody is an extreme version of that. So to embarrass somebody in public is certainly causing them Onas Dvarim in perhaps a particularly severe way. So if somebody were to embarrass somebody, so then there'd be a prohibition of Onas Dvarim. There's also another prohibition, the Gemara in the Middle Erchin talks about, that there's an obligation of Teichacha, that if somebody is doing something wrong, so then the Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim that we have to be Mochiach them, that we have to tell them that they're doing the wrong thing, and the Pasuk ends off, and you should not get in trouble because of him, you should not bear iniquity because of him. So what does that last part mean? So the Gemara in Erechin says, there are other interpretations also, but the Gemara in Erechin says that Yachol Afilu Lishtan Eponav, that you might think that you should give tocha to somebody, even if that means they're going to be humiliated, even if that means you're going to embarrass them. So Talmud Lomar, read the rest of the Pasuk, Lo Yisisol Av Chet, that since the Pasuk says you shouldn't get in trouble, it means that you shouldn't commit an avera yourself in pursuit of this tochacha by embarrassing him. So apparently, there's another Isser here, that we're not allowed to embarrass somebody even in the pursuit of the mitzvah of tochacha. And the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he counts this, so he points out that this is an example of a format that Torah has in a few places where it conveys an isser in the extreme, and we figure out from a kal vachomer that it applies in less extreme cases. So even when it's a situation of tochacha where there's a mitzvah, and you might think that, okay, so that justifies embarrassing somebody, so Gemara says, no, it doesn't, so you're not allowed to embarrass him even when this is the motive, when there's a mitzvah of tochacha. So certainly kal vachomer when there's no pretense of a mitzvah, when there's no aspect of tochacha, so certainly there's an answer. So it comes out that we have essentially, as the Tashbetz notes, these two Isurim, that we have the Isur of Onas Dvarim, and we also have the Isur of Lo Sisol Av Chet. So why do we need two Isurim? So presumably it's because they talk to different aspects of the situation. That when you embarrass somebody, so two things are happening. So one thing that's happening is that you're hurting his feelings, you're causing emotional pain. The other thing that's happening is you are stripping away his dignity, that you're causing him to be perceived differently by the people around him. So those are two separate aspects. So the second aspect, so perhaps that's where the chumra really comes from, that you're taking away somebody's dignity, and that's specifically in public. So that his face is going to change color that's embarrassing him in public. So perhaps that's what the split is about, that if you embarrass somebody in public, so then it has this tremendous assault on human dignity, and that's where it has all this great chumrah, that maybe it's a hargvah yavar, theoretically, and maybe you should mechal Shabbos, theoretically, and all these other dinim, that comes from the idea of making his face change color, of stripping him of his dignity. And maybe that's what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says that that's an additional possible interpretation, that maybe what's going on is that the idea of an eternal neshama that can enjoy Olam Haba, so where does that come from? So that comes from the fact that Adam Nivra B'Tzelem, that people created B'Tzelem Elokim. But the idea of B'Tzelem Elokim is also the marker for another concept. It's also the marker for Kavod Abrios, as we alluded to before, for the idea of human dignity. So if somebody embarrasses people in public, he doesn't believe in the Tzelem Elokim, he doesn't believe in the concept of human dignity, so maybe it's Midah Keneged Midah, so then he's not able to benefit from the Tzelem Elokim, from the eternal Neshama, and maybe that's what the Gemara is getting at. So specifically, when you're taking away somebody's dignity in public, so that's where you have this idea of leisusa levchet. But when it's in private, so then maybe you don't have that aspect, but it doesn't mean it's mutter. Then there's still an isser. That's the isser of onas devarim. So perhaps that's irrelevant to understanding this whole distinction and to understanding some of these more extreme statements. Again, even if we're basically saying that the more extreme statements are for the most part theoretical, but they certainly teach us a lesson about how to behave when we don't have stakes that are so high, when it's not Yehargav Yavor, but it helps us to perhaps understand that we have two tiers to this Isser, that we have on the one hand the Isser of Loisiso Levchet, which brings with it tremendous severity, even though, to be precise, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which is talking about this and has some of these more severe statements, there the Gemara is coming from Anas Devarim, but it could be that really it's the combination of both. So when you are in violation of Anas Devarim by itself, so then that's not Yehargav Yavor, and it doesn't, not even theoretically, but that's an Avera, it's still Usser. And when you are taking it to the stage of actual humiliation and making his face change color and taking away his dignity, so that's where you have a much greater chumrah, even if it amounts essentially to a theoretical chumrah. So we should also note that as much as we get the message to be very careful about Habanas Pnei Chaver Avim, certainly when we're not considering the question of Yehargav Yavor, as is usually the case, but to understand just how serious the Avera is. But it's not to suggest that Anas Devarim by itself is something kal. Anas Devarim is itself very chamer, and it's not limited to embarrassing other people in public. There are all kinds of other things, the Mishnah lists, that one could say that one would cause emotional pain on a different level, and that would still be a violation. It's a whole different topic, but just to quickly note that there are a lot of other applications about things that shouldn't be said, or maybe even facial expressions. The Sefer Yerayim understands that even showing somebody a nasty expression, nasty facial expression, would be included in Onas Devarim. And the Tshuvas Karen LeDavid has a discussion in Siman Yud Ches. So everyone's heard of the prohibition of Gezel Shena, and we don't necessarily know the mucker for the Yisr Gezel Shena. So the Tshuvas Karen LeDavid writes that Gezel Shena, waking up somebody inappropriately at the wrong time, so that would be an example of Anas Devarim. So we have a lot of other examples of Anas Devarim, and embarrassing somebody is a extreme example of Anas Devarim. And even though there's no Malkus for Anas Devarim, but it doesn't mean that it's a minor thing. The Mordechai understood maybe there's Malkus Mardus. That's a discussion, but we generally assume that we don't have Malkus for this violation. But we should still understand that it's a very serious prohibition, and the Shulchan Aruch does say that even though Mi'ikar HaDin, Beis Din does not enforce a penalty for Anas Devarim, but when it's extreme, Beis Din does have the authority to take whatever measures are necessary in order to address the situation. And the Gemara also says in a very scary way that harbe shluchim yesh lamakom lefro mi over itzono, that even if Beis Din's not going to actively enforce it, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu has his ways to make sure that there is going to be a consequence. So we have to be very careful about anas devarim as well. But certainly when it is in the extreme form and when it's in public, and then there's also the issue of losisa lovchet, so that adds tremendous chumra to it. And that's perhaps what this Gemara is getting at. So a lot more to say about anas devarim, but just to focus on this one iser of habanas panei chaver barabim. And again, we'll emphasize that as far as the more severe steps of Yehari Vayavor or Chilul Shabbos, so we would say don't try this at home. But certainly as a theoretical emphasis of just how serious this aver is, it's a very powerful message, and we should take from that the message here to be very careful about the kavod of everyone and to have a tremendous sensitivity that we wouldn't chas v'shalom want to inflict an embarrassment and any kind of indignity. Okay, yeah, shikach.